Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And it's time for you to get your cup of coffee and get your Bible, and we're going to be reasoning together. Now, this is number 15 in what we hope is a series of about 100 teachings on the basic fundamentals, the basic image of Christ. This is the third part in a series we're calling the Alpha and the Omega, God is the Alpha and the Omega, but then he says who is, who was, and who is to come. And something we've noticed about God is he is with us. He's not far from each one of us, is something we found about the scriptures. Yet we just can't haphazardly bump into God. What he will do is like a child walking, is he will hold his hand out and he will expect us to take a step, and then he will, I believe, comfort us, and then expect us to take another step until we learn how to walk, and then go on to the full maturity of being Christ-like. And of course, I believe that happens when Jesus returns, but in the meantime, we should be ever-growing in the Lord. Now, the word Christian is found, I think, three or four times in the Bible. And having become a Bible student, I looked up words like Son of God, and that in the Greek it's ouias ton theon. Ouias is a child or son of God, and theon is God. So that was found. I think I found something like 50 sometimes. Now, sometimes I know it's translated as child of God, but it's still ouias, a son of God, is found many, many more times than the term Christian. As a matter of fact, Christian is a coinage given by man, not by God himself. There's a scripture that says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, but God calls us his sons or his children. Well, I wanted to start there and go on, because then what happens when a son grows up? He becomes a man. Did you know there are places in Scripture where it calls mature sons of God men of God? Well, that's interesting. Maybe I introduced something new to you. Well, it's right there in black and white. Look it up for yourself. There are some people that were called men of God in the Old Testament and in the New. And what that means is a more mature believer in his walk in the Lord, that maybe instead of looking to tutors and governors, he has grown up to the point where he walks with God on his own. Now, don't think for a moment that God leaves us in any of this. It says he is not far from each one of us, and we will just take bigger steps as we get older in the Lord. Now, we went through God. I believe God does something, then we are to do something in response to that, and then God does something, and then we do something in response. It says, he who is, who was, and who is to come. And he fills in the gaps where we lack, but we're still supposed to be doers of the word. I think it's in Matthew 7, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. It talks about a person that just reads the Bible but doesn't practice it is like the person that looks at himself in the mirror. It's in the scriptures. And then he goes, and what happens? He forgets what sort of man he is. But the person that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. In other words, he abides in it, he practices it, he tries it out, he reads the Bible, practices it, he won't forget it. If you see something in the scriptures, and if you practice that particular thing, you're not going to forget it, you see. If you practice, for instance, having a changeable mind, you see, you won't forget that. And there's many, many different things you can practice in the scriptures. How about daily reading? It says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these will fail, not one will lack its mate. And there's a prayer that men pray, give us this day our daily bread. The Bible is our daily bread. And again, we'd sure like to encourage everyone to start reading the scriptures. Now, we're going to look at seven scriptures on the blood. Now, we started with Jesus being the sacrifice, the propitiation. In the Old Testament, it was atonement. And that is a sacrifice that they had to keep doing every time man sinned to take away the sin. But with the propitiation, it's once, forever, for all. And we went through three things that the propitiation, and propitiation, remember, is the means by which God shows mercy to sinners. Propitiation. In other words, God provides the Lamb, who is Jesus, the perfect sacrifice that works, even to the point of taking away even our guilt of sin. And the blood of goats and bulls did not do that, you see. The propitiation covers three things: that Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood, and on the third day he was resurrected. So the last time we went through Christ's death. And this time, now the death, we're going to put that in the center of the cup, and because that's the first thing listed, and we'll see how that works. And so we believe that death is for the heart of man, for the spirit, where the spirit belongs, the heart of man. Now, the blood is for the soul or for the mind. And remember, our reference is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. And so we went over the spirit or the heart of man and Christ's death, taking care of that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were without strength and while we were enemies, it showed his death. That's in Romans 5, I think it's 6, 8, and 10 are the verses there. But read 1 through 11 of Romans 5. Get familiar with that. Very good scripture. Now, the first place we're going to read about the blood. So the second thing that Jesus did on the cross is shed his blood. And like I said, we weren't going to ignore that. Most Christians know about the blood of the Lamb, but you don't hear them talking too much about the death. So we wanted to give it also its proper place. Now, we're going to not neglect the blood. We're going to read about the blood. And we're in Leviticus 17:11. But we're going to read 10 through 16. So has everybody got that? Leviticus 17:10 to the end of the chapter. And any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. See, here's the Old Testament. It's called atonement. New Testament, propitiation. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among you in hunting catches a beast or a bird, which may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with earth. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. When any person eats an animal which dies or is torn by beast, whether it is native or alien, whether he is native or alien, not talking about the beast, whether the person is native or alien, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and remain unclean until evening, then he will become clean. But if he does not wash or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. But the main verse we wanted to read is verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of our Lord. The heart and the spirit are at the center of man. Then the soul, the same as the mind. Our soul is the same as the mind. And then our flesh, you see. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So the blood of Christ is very important, and it atones for the sin of the soul. Okay, the next scripture we're going to read again is Romans 5, 1 through 11. And especially, let's see where it talks about the blood. Verse 9. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Now, I think a lot of people would like to eliminate that from the scriptures about going through perseverance and so on, but that's what builds adulthood. That's where you go on to be a man, is when you go through trials. Look at the World War II generation. That was a group of people to be highly respected that fought for the country, that gave their life like men today are doing when they're fighting overseas and giving up their families and so on. And this, when these people come back, they have proven character. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So there's Christ's death. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, this is where the death pertains for the sinner and for the helpless and for the ungodly. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood. Listen to that. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. What made us reconciled was the death of Jesus. We took on his death. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life or by his resurrection. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And so let's read that verse 9 again. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we were saved by his death, who is and who was. So is the blood, who was is Christ's death, and who is to come is the resurrection, you see. Who is, who was, who is to come. God takes care of the past, the present, and the future. So having now, look at the time, now we're being justified. Now, having now been made right by his blood. That's what that word justified means, being right with God, being made right or correct. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. The next place I'm going to be reading is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. about the blood of the Lamb and what it does for us. And it is for now. It makes, according to Deuteronomy, it makes atonement for our souls. Now I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. That sounds like being right, doesn't it? That we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons. Uyas, ton theon, the sons of God. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ into himself. That word, too, is actually the Greek word eis, into himself. He adopted us into himself. Boy, the Greek really speaks loudly there. According to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in whom we have the redemption. Now, that word actually is apolutrosis, the sending away through his blood. When you redeem something like redemption stamps, you buy it back. You don't want to buy back your sins. This actually is the Greek word apolutrosis. In him we have the apolutrosis. Apo is away, lutrosis is to send or wash away. In him we have the sending away through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. See how that makes sense? According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Oh, this is a fun one. Mystery. The Greek word mystery. Boy, you know Greek, don't you? Mysterion. It sounds like mystery. That's where the word came from. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens and things on the earth, in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession into the praise of his glory. Now, verse 7 is what we're concentrating on. In him, we have the washing or the sending away through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Now, I've heard this about sheep. I've only raised one, so I haven't raised enough to be an expert on this. But I've heard this from people that know sheep, that let's say you have an orphan sheep and you have a mother, a lamb that gave birth to another sheep and it died. Well, you'd want the lamb to be acceptable that's an orphan to the mother that just gave birth, but her little lamb died. So what they would do is they would take the afterbirth from the mom who just gave birth where the lamb died and rub the blood onto the orphan lamb, and the mother lamb, the ewe, would lick the afterbirth off because it would be acceptable to her. She would smell that scent and that was her scent. And when she licked it off, she would then adopt that new lamb as her own. And it sure sounds like the blood of the lamb. What Jesus is saying here is that the blood is part of the adoption process, and that he accepts us as truly his own. Now, I've got a few more scriptures to read here. I don't know how much time I'll have to read the full context. But I will read Hebrews 9:14. If you want to read on your own, read verses 11 through 22. But 14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Only the blood of the Lamb, not the blood of animals, lambs and bullocks. It cannot possibly take away the memory of sin. Only the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, can purge your conscience, even from dead works, works that man's own works that just keep you separated from God, that don't bring you to the living God, to serve him." That's in Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 13:12, verses 8 through 16. But we're going to read 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify," and that's the word agios, which means that he might make holy, "the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." So it is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, that makes his people holy. Agios, the Holy Spirit, agios phenevna, the holy breath or the holy wind. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship," and that word is koinonia, "we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Only the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, can cleanse us from all sin. And Revelation 1:5, that was 1 John 1:7, but read 6 through 10 as the context. We don't have time to read just verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship," or koinonia, "with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And finally, these will be seven scriptures on the blood. Revelation 1:5, and you can on your own time read 4 through 7. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood." It is the blood of the Lamb that apolutrosis, does not redeem our sins, but it's apolutrosis. It sends them away. I don't know why they use that word, but it sends away our sins. There is forgiveness. It is so much forgiveness. And I want to talk to you as a dear friend here. Don't forget that when you go back to God, and if you are under the blood and you've been forgiven for something, and you'll go back to the Lamb and you'll say, "Well, I'm sorry for this or for that." And he'll say, "What are you talking about, friend? I don't know what you're talking about." "Well, this thing that I did." And he goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." You see, if it's under the blood, it has been forgiven. Anyway, in closing, time is drawing near. I wanted to go back over Leviticus 17:11. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls." Now, when we meet again, we're going to be going over the third thing that Jesus did when he died on the cross, and that was on the third day he was raised from the dead, and we're going to go through the resurrection. This is Gilbert Larson praying that God would lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."